is with you in the hearts which respond appropriately to what you are saying to us. Please would we respond to you and defend the cause of Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles, and I thought I'd share with you from the Gospel of Matthew today, chapter 10. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 10 from verse 24 to verse 33. So page 1511 in your Bibles, Matthew 10, starting at verse 24. Matthew 10, verse 24. This is the Lord Jesus talking to his 12 disciples. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. So I thought I would just spend the next few minutes sharing from this passage, which has blessed me, and I thought that it would have something to bless you with as well. Just to orientate you in Matthew's Gospel, I'm not sure whether you've been looking at it recently, but Matthew has written his Gospel with the claim that Jesus is the King. He's the one who's been given all authority in heaven and earth. That's how Matthew's Gospel ends, with Jesus sending his disciples on the Great Commission. And in the opening words of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew tells us his claim that Jesus is the Christ. So his claim is that Jesus is got all authority in heaven and earth, that he's ruling over everything. And in this chapter 10, it's one of five teaching blocks in Matthew. The Lord Jesus is teaching particularly his disciples, his followers, about his mission, about the mission of spreading that message of him as the King. So if you just look at verse 7, he says to his disciples, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, because Jesus has now arrived 2,000 years ago, the King is here. Everything has changed. The person who rules over the entire universe has just turned up. The kingdom of heaven is near. That's what he sent his disciples out to tell people. That is the truth, the reality of our universe, according to the Lord Jesus. There is a ruler over that universe, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And what he's doing in this teaching block is preparing his followers for what it will be like to take that message out to the world around them. And I think it falls into three parts, and the passage that I've read from you today falls in the third part, but just to tell you what the Lord Jesus has already covered in this passage. There's three I tell you the truth statements in chapter 10, which I think very helpfully summarise what the Lord Jesus teaches in this chapter. The first one's in verses 14 and 15. He says to his disciples, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. In other words, in that first part of the teaching block, he's saying that the mission that he's sending his disciples on of telling people that he is the King is really eternally decisive. How people respond to that message will affect their eternal destiny. And in fact, if they reject it, they have a concerning destiny, shall we say, from the future. They will be worse for the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah, towns that were destroyed by the Lord for people who do not accept. So that's the first part, that the mission that they are sent on is an incredibly important one of eternal significance. The second I tell you the truth statement comes a little bit later in 23. He says, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. In other words, this second part of the teaching block, he's saying, look, your mission is going to be characterized by running from one place to another. It's going to be an ongoing mission, and it's also going to be characterized by opposition. And we've seen that that's true, haven't we, in the 2,000 years intervening from the Lord Jesus saying these words initially, right to the present day. We see that the mission of Jesus is ongoing. There's always more work to do in telling people that Jesus is the King. And whenever that message is spread, it is a message that excites opposition, which actually causes Jesus' followers to have to flee sometimes to the next town, to the next group of people with whom they can share that message. So that's the context of the passage that I read today. A decisive mission, one which has eternal consequences, and a mission which is characterized by persecution and opposition. But in this last section of chapter 10, the tone of what Jesus is saying becomes very encouraging to his disciples, because you might think from what I've just said, well, that all sounds quite scary, and indeed it is in many ways. The third I tell you the truth statement comes right at the end of the chapter in verse 42, where Jesus says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. So Jesus ends this section on this amazingly encouraging tone, that however insignificant something that someone does in advancing his mission, in supporting his people, it will be noticed by the living God himself, and it won't go unrewarded. That is an amazing thing, isn't it? However tiny a thing that someone does in support of God's mission, it will be noticed by the Lord Jesus. And that sort of tone of encouragement is what runs through the passage that I've read today. So I'm going to talk about this passage this morning, and then this afternoon, the second part, the remainder of chapter 10. The bit that we've read from chapter 10 is focusing particularly on facing our fears in being part of Jesus' mission in the wider world. And what we'll look at this afternoon and the ending of Matthew chapter 10 is facing our fears within our own families and the difficulties that Jesus' mission can cause in our family life and in our own household. So we're thinking particularly about facing our fears in the wider world. And just to sort of pause and reflect, I guess there may be people here who haven't identified as a Christian. Maybe that you're just looking into the Christian faith, and that's brilliant. I'm sure the church here loves people looking into and considering the claims of Christian faith for themselves. But at some point, everyone has to come to a situation where they say, well, actually, yes, I am going to publicly acknowledge that Jesus is the King. I have to say that publicly. I have to do it in front of other people. And actually, that might be a choice that fills you with dread. We'll think later on this afternoon about family and friends. But even in the wider world, if we are people who acknowledge, if we say that Jesus is King, well, that has implications, doesn't it? Implications which people don't always like to hear. And for those of us that are Christians, I'm sure that we will have faced these fears in ourselves when we're in our workplace or when we're with our friends who don't know Christ. Something comes up perhaps at school. I've noticed the children have gone out, but something comes up at school or whatever where something is being taught which is contrary to what Jesus says. And part of us feels a bit afraid about saying, well, actually, I know that this isn't in accordance with what Jesus says. It's not in accordance, it's not consistent with what the Bible says about him being King of all. But we feel a bit fearful, don't we, about speaking up. And I know adults, grown-ups as well here, Certainly I feel it. I work, as well as working at St Anne's Limehouse, I work part-time in an HR job. And sometimes topics will come up there where are in contradiction to what the Bible says. And often I will feel full of fear. Am I going to be brave enough to say anything about this? And of course, not just defensively, but proactively in the gospel message itself. The Lord Jesus is sending people out, isn't he, to share the message that he is Lord of all with others. And often, if we're trying to take the initiative and share that message with other people, we can feel trepidation about doing so. It will seem like a massive gear change in the conversation. People are talking about things which have got nothing to do with God or eternal things. And for us to try to introduce that into the conversation, well, we might just feel very embarrassed about doing so. And I think this passage is very helpful in when we feel those fears. I think the Lord Jesus is here helping us to face those fears. And he gives us five pictures in these verses that we've read. And I think I've tried to make them memorable. So, the pictures themselves are memorable. Of course, we don't have to make what the Lord says memorable. But I think I've got five S's to try and help us remember these pictures. If we find ourselves in that situation where we're thinking about saying something about Jesus and his rule, but we feel full of fear. Five reasons to encourage us that we can speak up about him, that we can face those fears. So the first S, and the first picture that the Lord gives us in this chapter, is the word servant. Let me just reread 24 to 26. You might like to read that with me again. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, Jesus says. Now, all of us want people to approve of us, to think that what we're doing is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? In fact, it's a good thing that we want other people's approval. In some ways, God has made us that way so that we'll live in communities and so that what other people think about us will matter to us, so that we'll listen to other people's opinions. But actually, that also means that cuts another way, that the prospect of people thinking we're a bit mad or perhaps a bit narrow-minded if we say to them that what Jesus says matters, that is something that can fill us with fear, isn't it? And so actually Jesus' words here, I think, are very comforting. He says that if you face that fear, if you face that opposition, or perhaps embarrassment, or whatever it is, for saying that what Jesus says matters, actually it's just part of the job. There's an image here, isn't there, of the business, the master and the servant. If the boss of the business gets abuse from some of the customers, then so will the employees of the shop or the business or whatever it is. Jesus himself, he says, he got called satanic. Possibly the worst thing you could say about anyone, isn't it, and about what they say. Jesus himself got called satanic by people. So actually, if we speak up for him, we can expect people to say some pretty horrible things about us as well. Now, somehow if we know what to expect in a job, it does somehow help us get through it, doesn't it? Even if those things themselves are not things which are pleasant or nice. For some people, part of their jobs is taking abuse. I remember speaking to there was a quiz that we had at St Anne's a while ago, and one of the guys there had been a doorman, a sort of nightclub security guy for 20 or so years. Not a Christian guy, actually, but he would talk about it was a daily part of his job, dealing with people who were abusive. Guys particularly wanting to try and get him into a fight. He was a big guy. People that had too much to drink. It was just part of the job. And actually, he'd learned a coping strategy over the 20 years or so. He was quite a proud East Ender, saying, I know how to handle myself. But actually, knowing that dealing with abusive people was going to be part of what he did was actually helped him in a way get through it. It set his expectations for it. It didn't change the fact that when he had to deal with an unpleasant customer who was being abusive, it didn't change the fact that that was an unpleasant experience. But because he knew what to expect, and he knew that that was just a daily part of the job, it did help him get through the job that he had to do. And actually, it is strangely comforting, isn't it, I think, for us, to know that our job in taking forward Jesus' mission will involve, from time to time, people not liking what we're saying. It doesn't make it any more pleasant to be in that experience at the time, but we do know that we can expect it to happen. So that's the first thing. The first S is the servant. The servant can expect to be treated in the same way that their master has been treated. The second S is a bit of a cheat, but I've got the word disclose, which has got two S's in it, so hopefully that can help you remember. This is verses 26 and 27, so let's just reread those again. "Don't be afraid of them," Jesus says. "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." Now, when we're in church, it's normal, hopefully it's normal, to talk about Jesus being in charge, to celebrate that, to acknowledge it, to talk about it together. But when we're out in the wider world, so surrounded by people who don't recognise that, it can seem a really wacky thing to say, can't it? The world and our public spaces just seem to carry on doing whatever they're doing without recognising Jesus. And if he really is the king, which is the claim of Matthew's gospel, if he really is ruling over the whole world, well, then where is his presidential palace? We can go to number 10 Downing Street, can't we, in Westminster, and see where Theresa May lives. But where is Jesus ruling from? Well, Jesus is saying in these verses that he's teaching his disciples in an inner room at that point, just because there's only 12 of them. But actually, they shouldn't have any fear of speaking out in the daylight and proclaiming it from the roofs, in fact, being as open as possible as they can about it. Because what he's saying is that one day everything is going to be disclosed, everything's going to be made known. Actually, one day everyone really will see that Jesus really is the king over all. One day Jesus' words will hold sway over our entire universe in a completely visible way. At the moment, they hold sway over our world in an invisible way sometimes. But actually, one day everyone will see that they are true. Jesus will one day be physically present. Everyone will see that he is ruling over everything. One day everyone will think, how stupid to carry on living in Jesus' world without recognizing that this world belongs to him. Because actually, the Christian hope is that one day it will be obvious to everyone that the thing that we should have been doing all along. Our Christian hope, isn't it, that nothing can stop that day coming. So actually, when we feel fearful about saying that Jesus is king, or about acknowledging his rule in our workplaces or wherever it is we're on a Monday morning, actually, it really is the right job for us to be doing. We're not doing the wrong thing. It can seem like it's just, we've got the wrong end of the stick. Everyone else seems to be carrying on without making any impact. But actually, it is really the right thing to be saying. One day it will be undeniable to everyone that Jesus' words hold sway over everything. So that's our second picture, the disclosure. At the end of time, everyone will see that Jesus is the king. The third S is the word soul. So have a look again at verse 28. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So this is the third reason Jesus gives us for not being afraid, for facing up to our fears about being open about him. It's a very sobering reason, isn't it? What he's saying in these verses is that any suffering that you face for making him known, actually one day people will face justice for doing that if they don't repent. Now, it may be that there are people here that have actually lost out for being public about the lordship of Christ. Perhaps it's cost you in your work, in your relationships, in your friendships. And we hear all around us in the world, don't we, about Christians who suffer significantly for making Christ known, for saying, yes, he is the king, and what he says really does matter. We hear about Christians in countries like North Korea, sometimes put to death for following Jesus. Actually, Jesus says, Christians can keep on speaking for him because nothing that happens to them will escape justice. And there's this very sobering warning, isn't there, that actually for people who don't repent, there will be punishment in hell one day. The most terrifying thing that can happen to us in this life for being public about Christ, well, it's nothing compared to the justice, the right justice that Jesus will bring one day to those who reject his message and his people. But also I think this message tells us why Jesus' mission matters so much, isn't it? Because actually Jesus came the first time not to condemn but to save. Jesus was willing to give up his life in order to bring this message to us and to shed his blood on the cross so that we can know forgiveness of sins and an eternal security in the future. And actually, so this is a great comfort, isn't it? That the message of salvation, the message of rescue from hell, is such an important message that actually it is worth suffering for. Jesus himself suffered, and it's worth us suffering and being involved in too, even though it costs us very greatly. On to the fourth picture. The fourth S is the word sparrow. Let's reread verses 29 to 31. Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father? And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." One of the reasons that we fear making Jesus known or being publicly open about his authority and rule is suffering happening to us in a meaningless way, perhaps, or just not sensing that there's any control to it. It's often we might find ourselves asking, how could it be God's plan for me to suffer for making Jesus known? And why would God want me to lose out and suffer in this world? Now we know, don't we, from the scripture that that God uses suffering for good. But actually, there's something that frightens us potentially about the idea of suffering on our own, of going through a difficult time without any knowledge or care. And actually, what Jesus is saying in this passage is that actually, if you suffer for making Christ known, for saying what he says matters, you will never do it on your own. Actually, sparrows fall to the ground and die, don't they? In the same way as we fall to the ground and die. But Jesus is saying here, nothing will happen to you that happens outside the Father's control and care. The prospect of dying is a scary one in many ways, isn't it? The prospect of losing our lives. But actually, Jesus is saying that nothing happens to us outside of what God wants for us. And there's this picture of the hairs on the head as well, isn't there? My hair's receding slightly at the temples. So I've lost a few follicles in the last 10 years. And I've got no idea how many hairs that I've lost, how many fewer follicles I had than I had 10 years ago. And yet Jesus says that even God the Father even knows that about me. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That he knows even so trivial and unimportant a fact about me. Then of course he'll know whatever suffering I go through, to try to put him, to say that he's Lord of all in my life. I may not always know why he's causing me to suffer in a particular way, but I certainly know that it's not happening outside of his sovereign control. And that is an immensely comforting thing, isn't it? It gives us great confidence that we can take a step of faith and belief for him. Okay, we're on to the final picture that Jesus uses in this word. The final S is the word son. I don't think the passage actually uses the word son, but I think it's kind of implied here. Let's have a look again at verses 32 to 33. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I also will disown before my Father in heaven." The fifth reason that Jesus gives us why we don't need to fear about being open about his importance and authority in the world is that he is the Son that will give us access to the Father. This bit is looking forward again to the future, isn't it? it's saying that for those who acknowledge Jesus, they can look forward on that final day to being welcomed into the family of God himself. God himself will welcome them as a father. We will be welcomed into the Father's presence on that day, not because we're better than other people, but because we acknowledge our need for Jesus. We need him to pay for our sins. We need him to give us his righteousness, his righteous life, so that we can be welcomed into the presence of the Father. We can't do life on our own. And this is very comforting, I think, isn't it, for perhaps those of us who've been Christians a while and just conscious, perhaps, at this point that we've missed so many opportunities, we've bottled so many opportunities to talk about the Lordship of Christ, just because we have been afraid. I know that I've done that many times, and I don't say that with any pride. But actually, the reason that Jesus will welcome us into the Father's presence on that day is not because we've taken those opportunities or haven't taken them. It's because of what he's done for us. It's because we say to people that we depend on him, that we need him to forgive us, that we depend on him for our life. And that's an amazingly comforting thing, isn't it? However guilty or poor we feel that we've been at spreading his message with other people, that isn't the basis on which we're welcomed into his presence in the future. It is solely on the basis of his grace and his kindness to us. And that's a wonderful thing. And I think the picture here is a contrast, isn't it, with those around us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and who don't have that hope to look forward to. Actually, this can seem like a stark warning, can't it, to us? It can feel like if we deny Christ before others, then we are going to be shut out of the kingdom. But I think that is true. But I wonder if the emphasis here is more actually to say to us, when we find ourselves in a situation with people who don't know Christ, and it can feel perhaps a bit embarrassing to take the initiative and talk about him, actually, just think about the contrast between us and our destiny and our hope of future and the hope and future that the people around us have. Actually, we can look forward to being welcomed by God as our Father. Whereas actually those around us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ don't have that hope. They don't have any prospect of being welcomed by the Father in the future. And actually that a great comfort and security of being in the family relationship is such a contrast, isn't it? And will help us face the fear of making Jesus known in those kind of situations. So that's all I've got for us this morning. Let me just recap then quickly. I think in this passage, Jesus tells us five reasons how we can face our fears about being open about the fact that he is the king. And the fact that that does have an impact on every aspect of our lives, but also the lives of the people around us. And they're those five S's. The servant, so it's part of the job, actually, to have a difficult time in Jesus' mission is part of the job. And if we can expect that in advance, although it doesn't perhaps make it easier, it does at least tell us what to expect. The second thing, the disclosure, the fact that though it can seem wacky now to say that what Jesus says matters, in a world which acts as though that's not the case, actually the reality is the other way around. One day Jesus' words will be visibly seen by all people to be true, and so we can have confidence that what we're saying really is the right job to be doing. Thirdly, the picture of the soul and the fact that however much we might have a difficult time for being open about Jesus, there will be justice one day. No one will escape justice for the wrong things that they do in this world, for opposing Jesus' mission, but also the powerful motivator that is as well, out of love, to advance Jesus' mission, who came to save people from facing that judgment in the future. The fourth image, the picture of the sparrow, the fact that no difficult thing will happen to us outside the sovereign care of our Father. We won't know why it's happening to us always, but we know that it's not pointless, that God is in control of it. And then fifthly, the picture of the Son, that future of being welcomed into God's presence as our Father. And not even because of how well we've done in evangelism or how poorly we've done in it, but solely on the basis of Jesus and his work and what he's done for us. So I think I personally have found that a huge encouragement to me in facing the fears that I feel about being public about the Lordship of Christ in the situations I find myself in. And my prayer is that that will be for you, both if you've acknowledged Christ as Lord already, but also if you haven't taken that step, that it would help you to take it for the first time. Shall I lead us in a prayer? And then I think we're going to sing Tell Out My Soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that so much that we can come to you as our Father through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can enjoy eternal blessing with him through what he's done and through what we cannot do for ourselves. And so please would anyone who hasn't recognized him as the one who has all authority, please would they do that for the first time today. And Father, for those of us who do believe that Jesus is that person who has all authority, please would we be encouraged by the reasons we've heard today to face up to our fears about letting that openly affect our lives and our speech. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we stand to sing, Tell Out My Soul.